Because there comes a time in all of our lives where we need someone who understands. And I think you'll find, as I have found, that often in that time of need, it's difficult to find a human being who understands. Sometimes we don't even understand ourselves. Have you ever felt that way? You just don't even understand yourself. I know I've been going through that recently, and I wanted to share some of the things that God has been teaching me lately in my own personal life, some things that have really encouraged me, and I trust will encourage you. I think we need encouragement, probably more than anything else. We need encouragement. We need comfort. We need someone to come along and infuse some life into us to keep us going, especially living in the state of Minnesota for the last 60, 70 days. This has been like Depressingville, you know? And I'm sure that it has not met up to most of our expectations. If it has, don't tell me about it, okay? If it's met up to your expectations, that's fine. Keep it to yourself. But it's not met up to mine. I was telling my wife, you know, it's kind of like the summer started off for me, like a guy who goes out and invests in cross-country ski equipment and downhill ski equipment, and then he's waiting for that Minnesota snow that we're famous for. 1 week goes by, 2 weeks go by, and guess what? No snow for the whole winter. And then when it does snow, it lasts an hour and melts. That's what this summer's been like to me. I was looking forward to this glorious, wonderful, hot summer. Sun shining every day, kind of like Hawaii. I guess I moved to the wrong state for that, though. The Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sick, but desire realized is the tree of life. Whether you realize it or not, that verse applies to all of us. Because, you know, to God, all of us are children. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever watched small children? I think parenting has been the biggest education in my life. It has taught me more about God than probably any other single thing in my life is being a dad. And I want to talk to you about that tonight. What it's like to have a dad like God. Because I was reading the other day a story of Martin Luther, and a little excerpt from Martin Luther, he said this. He said, I always had trouble praying the Lord's Prayer. It was always difficult for me to say our Father. Because my father was a harsh, unkind, unbenevolent dictator. And I always had a difficult time starting off that prayer, since I'd always skip that part and I'd go to the rest. I don't know what life was like for you, but as I thought about growing up, and as I thought about parenting myself, and as I thought about how we treat ourselves, is vastly different than the way God interacts with us on a regular basis, but most often we miss it. God really understands more than you and I realize our human experience. He understands our frustrations. I want to read you a passage from Psalm 103 this evening that I've been thinking about for the last 3 or 4 weeks. It's found in Psalm 103 and starting with verse 13. It says, as a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord tenderly sympathizes with those who revere him. For he knows what we are made of. He keeps in mind that we are dust. A man's days resemble grass. He blossoms like a flower in the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, with not a sign that it has ever been there. We are very unstable people. Have you ever thought to yourself, looked in the mirror and thought, boy, you're losing it? Well, you know, that's normal for human beings. Because all that has to happen to us is the wind blows on it, we wither and die. And God understands that. Just remember, He made you out of dust. And dust is not very strong. And dust is not very sturdy. God made us, in a sense, as far as to God, we're perpetual children. I want to talk to you about what I mean by this. The other day, before I left last week to go to Ohio, my son was going to be mowing the lawn. And we live on an acre plot of land, and we have to mow it, and it's a lot to mow. So I've been looking forward to the day he could take over that responsibility. And I could pay him, because I thought it would be a great opportunity to learn and grow, and I'm always trying to look for those opportunities for my children. So he's out. I'm getting the lawnmower started. It's one of those hard ones to pull in. It's one of those push ones. It doesn't automatically pull itself along. So we're getting all ready, and we got these little beads, biker gloves, because it adds padding, you know, and the vibrates really cool. You have to try it sometime for those of you. It's the Mark Darling invention. It's always a better way to do things. So you put these biker gloves on, and it's real comfortable on your hands. So he's getting started and he's gone one pass, two pass, and he's done this before. But this particular day, you know, we've had a pretty cool summer. It was really hot. It was one of the hot, humid days we had. I think the only one. So he's going back and forth about three times, and I'm looking out the window, and he's standing behind the lawnmower. Just like that. He's dramatic like his father, and he's standing there. Oh, man, it's hot. And I could tell, you know, he was losing heart. Now, my son, my oldest son and I are considerably different in personality. There are certain similarities between us, but there's other things that are not. When it came to making money, I was always gung-ho. I was buying my own clothes when I was 11 and 12 years old. I had all my own jobs, and I was all, but I spent it as fast as I got it. I never learned how to save it, but that's beside the point. I earned it, and I was out there as a little go-getter kid. Very ambitious. So my son, it's not that he's lazy. We just have different temperaments. He doesn't have that A-type temperament. So he's out there behind the lawnmower, and I'm thinking inside to myself, I'm going to go out here and give him a piece of my mind. So you know how you formulated it, folks, moms and dads, in your mind? When I was a kid, I was by my own coast when I was your age. I would have had this halfway done already. Now we've got to get moving here, son. You know, the grass is green, it's long, and it needs cut. Think about the money, son. I'm paying you well. Focus on the money. Okay? Think about what you can get with the money. Do anything to motivate yourself, but motivate yourself and let's get this thing going. I was thinking about that, running through all these things in my mind. And God brought this verse to my mind. Just kind of like a sledgehammer to my brain. He said, Mark, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord tenderly sympathizes with his kids. And I thought, you know, that's not really how God deals with us. Although, to be honest, I think that's the way he deals with us. Because, you know, most of us are very hard on ourselves. We're always trying to get more out of ourselves. We're always pushing, always driving. We're never quite good enough. And we always want more out of ourselves. And we think God is the one behind there. You know, come on, get on the ball. Be a little better. Be a little happier. Why are you frustrated over the weather anyway? I mean, when time and eternity stand still, what will the weather matter? Well, it matters a lot to a kid, doesn't it? And the sunshine beating down an 11-year-old, making him hot and humid, matters a lot to a child. May not matter to an adult because you're all grown and big and we think we're so mature. But it matters to a child. So I went in and I got a glass and I put a bunch of ice in it, put some water in it. And I went out and I said, Jeremy, I said, how you doing, kiddo? He says, oh, Dad, it's hot out here today. I just wish it was cold. We've been wishing for hot days. Now he's wishing for cold days. See? I said, I know, son. I said, it's really warm. It's humid out here. I said, well, why don't you just come and sit down here? Let's just sit down and take a break for a minute and take a drink and, you know, don't worry about it. You know, I know the grass will get up. It takes 10 hours. Well, that's okay. It'll get done. Oh, okay. So we sit down for a while and he takes a drink and we chat. And then he goes out and mows a little more. And then he sat down again for a while. We talked. And then I left for a while. And then I realized, you know, I'm going to go back and tell him some more. So I went back and said, listen, son. You know, you get the first half of the yard done. If you just want to stop, just stop. We'll do it a little later in the evening. Oh, really, Dad? Yeah, don't worry about it. See, I can't expect my son to be what I am. He's him. And fathers were intended to have compassion on their children. Yet so often we view God as this slave driver. We view God as worse than Pharaoh. Make more bricks! And you don't get any straw either. We're so hard on ourselves and we become hard on other people. When other people have a hard day, over the littlest things, we start nitpicking at them because we forget that God doesn't deal with us that way. The other day, my little son, he's about 3.5 years old. And he and I have been building this relationship, you know, and it's gotten better and better and better. So the other day, Mom was on a date with Jeremy and my daughters were down playing, and I was going to put Micah down for his nap. Now, just you saw, honey, I blew up the kids. You know, nap is a four-letter word to a kid. That's bad, you know. Nap is like horrendous. So we were in the bedroom and I was kind of tired myself and I was trying to get him to take a nap. And my son started to cry. And he really started to cry. And then he puts his hands together like this. He goes, "Please, Daddy, please, I don't want to take a nap right now. Please, Daddy, please." I just thought, oh, I don't believe this. I got a third dramatic person in the family, you know. And he was so serious, you know. He's coming from the bottom of his heart. And I thought, what's a nap anyway? You know? I thought, you know, so I said, okay, Mike, I said, I'll read to you. So we read the Little Bear book, and then we read the ABC About Feelings book, and then we read the Little Skunk book. And about six books later, he kind of curled up beside me, and he kind of drifted off to sleep and went to bed. But you know, quite often, our view of God is, lay down and shut up. Okay? I want you to obey, and I want you to obey now. No understanding here for your feelings. I don't care if you don't feel like taking a nap. And I don't care if you feel tired and weary and feel like quitting. I don't want to hear about it. You got my spirit. I went to the cross. So you kick yourself in the behind and do what's the right thing to do. And I don't want to hear anything about it. We are so hard on ourselves. God is never that way with you. He's an understanding Father. He's empathetic. He's compassionate. The Bible tells us in Hebrews, it says this, "Therefore we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with us, but one who is tempted in all ways as we are, yet without sin. He understands our weakness. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace boldly with confidence, so we may receive grace to help for our failures and mercy in our time of need." That's what God is like. Without fail, day after day after day, He understands your humanity. He understands the ruffles of your feathers. He understands that we're children. Yesterday, my daughter, she came up to me. It's my youngest daughter. She said, "Dad, it was a cooler day yesterday. I'm sure you are all aware of that. Kind of a jean and sweatshirt sort of a day." I said, "Dad, I need a new pair of jeans. I don't have any jeans." I said, "Really? I don't have any jeans? Well, you know, there was two pair of jeans. Remember those two pair of jeans you had? Those really cool pair?" "No, I don't remember." I said, "Well, let's go try to find them." So I found the one pair of jeans, but the really cool pair of jeans, we looked over the whole house for. Couldn't find them anywhere. It's like, have you ever noticed how jeans have legs of their own? And they just walk, they just gone. You can't find them. So my little daughter, she's kind of emotional, tender. She starts to cry for her little jeans. "Daddy, it's my favorite jeans. I can't find my jeans." You know the classic response? "Well, you know, I don't wear them. I mean, they're not my jeans. You've got to learn to keep track of your things, sweetheart. That's what drawers are for. That's what hangers are for. Those were $28 jeans. Now we can't find them anywhere in the whole house. I don't think we'll get you any more jeans till you learn how to be responsible with the jeans that you have." You've all heard that, haven't you? You're all going, "That sounds real familiar." Yeah, that's the way my dad was all the time. You know how many had a dad that said, "You know, let's just go out and drop $40 for a pair of jeans. How about it? Well, let's just go do it. Wouldn't it be fun? We'll go out and the hunt will be so exciting. Let's go look for a pair of jeans that just looks good on you." Well, I don't know if you have that kind of a dad, but that's the kind of dad my kids have. And the reason they have that kind of a father, most of the time, not all the time, because I've given those kind of lectures too, is because I've learned in my life that that's the kind of dad God is. He's an understanding, empathetic, tender father. He knows everything about you. He knows what's going on with your emotions when you don't understand them. When you wonder what in the world's going on, when it feels like it's raining on the inside of you, and you think, you know, what's wrong with me? Job's going okay, life's going, I just feel bummed out. God understands. The Bible tells us in Psalm 139 that He understands our thoughts before we even think them. He understands your fears. He understands your apprehensions. He understands the things that are uncertain in your life. He understands the anxieties that you have, the frustrations. This last week I've had a number of phone calls, very heavy situations going on in people's lives. Loved ones dying. People walked by me last Sunday who just lost one of their daughters 2 weeks ago. I think she was about 20 years old in a freak accident. Broken hearts walking by. And you know, Christian, God understands you. Because to God, no matter how old you get, you're His child. You're a baby. He understands that sometimes the only way we know how to express ourselves is to cry. The only way we know how to express ourselves is to scream. You see, that's standard issue for a child. Now, certainly we grow, but you want to know something? I'll tell you something about life. You never grow out of childhood with God. And throughout your life, no matter how old you get in your faith, you'll be God's little child. And the more you understand that, the more comfort you will receive in your Christian life. The more able you'll be to go to God. You'll be afraid of God. Most people in this room, if I were to sit down and talk with you on a one-to-one basis, really have a wrong perspective of God. Because most of us are very spiritually dysfunctional. Do you know why? Because most of us were raised with some kind of religious pharmaceutical background in our life. And we were given the wrong information about God. We were programmed with the wrong concept of God. You see, God made us in His own image. You know what that means? It means when you feel, He feels. When you hurt about things, He hurts. The only thing different between God and us, you need to understand this is very important, is His divinity. He's perfect. He never sinned. But other than that, you and I are very similar to God. He has feelings. He understands what you understand. And Jesus went through all of life's circumstances that you and I go through. He went through people not believing in Him. He went through rejection. He went through bad days. The only difference between Jesus and us is He was tempted, but He never gave in to the temptation. We're tempted, and we go one step farther. We give in to the temptations. You know something? God understands that too. He sympathizes. And He wants you to come to Him without any shame, without any fear, without any reservation that you're going to get beat up. And the Bible tells us to come right into His presence, and He'll give you mercy, and He'll give you grace in your time of need. That has motivated me more in my Christian life, probably than any other single fact about God, that He loves me. That He cares about me. That He's for me. That He's in my corner. That I can approach Him in any circumstance. Most of us here tonight are our own worst enemy. Most of us beat up on ourselves on a regular basis. I want to encourage you tonight to lighten up. Enjoy life. Enjoy God. And don't be afraid of your humanity. Don't be afraid of those things that reveal your weakness. God understands those things. He's there to encourage you and nurture you and help you keep going. Just like I am with my own children. I'm there to nurture them. I'm there to encourage them. Yes, sometimes I have to require of them to do things that they don't want to do. But the biggest thing I do in my children's life is comfort, urge, encourage, strengthen, fortify, affirm, nurture. That's what God does with you. That's what God is about. That's what His relationship is about with you. He came to be a nurturer. The Bible tells us He's an everlasting Father. He's a tender Father. He's not harsh. Those are not words we can apply to God. God is only harsh. God is only harsh when it comes to injustice. You see? And then it's a righteous harshness. But you're God's child. And you will never, ever, ever come under God's wrath. Did you know that? If you are a child of God here tonight, if you personally invited Jesus Christ into your life, not if you're religious, but if Jesus is inside of you and you know that, you will never, ever have God mad at you. Ever. Never. He will not get upset with you. He will not get disgusted with you. He will not be put out with you. He will not get disappointed with you. He will not decide, you know, you're not worth the effort. I wish I wouldn't have had you. See, God doesn't think that way. We think that way. Not because we're like God in that way, but because we've been infected by sin. If we had never been infected by sin, we would never have those kind of thoughts. Ever. Did you know that? Did you know that Adam and Eve loved unconditionally? Life was perfect until sin infected their lives. And it's affected all of us. God understands that. God understands the traumas you go through. God understands the struggle that you and I have trying to do what's right and falling on our face. You know, I've found with kids, my kids, that most of the time they try to do the right thing. But you know, I find that most parents believe just the opposite. They believe the kids are always trying to screw up. And every time you turn around, just go to a grocery store sometime. Watch parents interact with their kids. Go to a baseball game. Go to a soccer game. Just watch. Kids get beat up on. Number one desire, the number one desire that children have almost innately is to please the parents. It's a natural desire, even though it's also a natural desire to do what's wrong. There's this strong tenacity to want to do what's right. But so often, they get put down, they get put down, they get put down, they get made fun of, and they lose heart. That's why the Bible says, fathers, do not exasperate your children, lest they lose heart. Do you think God would ever do that to you? The very thing He commands us not to do, that God would do Himself. He would exasperate you. He would ask so much of you that you would lose heart. That's not God. That's the devil. And you know what? Most of us attribute attributes to God that are really the devil. And attributes often to the devil that we think is God. We get so mixed up. The devil is the accuser of the brethren. Jesus is the defender. And yet most of us attribute the accusation of the devil to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Very fine line. And most of us don't know the difference. God is in your corner. And if you're going to make it through this life, it's very important that you understand that. It's very important that you learn to go to God and find that comfort. And understand that He's your dad. You see, Jesus, one day, as He was with His disciples, there was a huge crowd around Him. And as you've ever noticed, when you're doing business, Jesus was doing business, you know. You don't have much time for kids. And Jesus sits down, and all these little kids wanted to touch Jesus. He sits down, He puts Him on His knee, and the disciples saying, get the kids back. And Jesus said, let them come to Me. Don't do that. Let them come to Me. He sits down and He takes time with the children and He sets someone on His knees and is probably playing with his hair. And Jesus says, unless you become like a little child, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. And let me encourage you here tonight, men and women, unless you are like a little child, you will never experience God's presence and comfort in your life. Unless you view yourself as a child and God as your Father and as your tender, compassionate Father, you will never enjoy this life. You will never enjoy your Christian life. It breaks my heart as I travel around the country and I do so many different conferences and I deal with thousands of people. The one recurring thing that I find over and over and over again is this principle I'm sharing with you tonight has been massively short-circuited. The devil has seen to it that every time you touch on it, it blows a fuse. Because people are suffering, they're suffering from the propaganda of religious people. They're suffering from a lie. And unless we get rid of that little lie in our brain, it will continue to control the mind. You control the mind, you control the soul. You control the soul, you control the life. And if we continue that thought pattern in our mind that God is this harsh and dictatorial and demanding overlord of a dad, then you'll never really enjoy a Christian life. And you know what? You'll be very hard on yourself and you'll be very hard on those around you. You'll have problems with criticism, with a judgmental spirit. You'll have great difficulty showing compassion and extending grace to other people because you're not giving it to yourself. You need to give it to yourself, you see. You need to extend God's grace to you. You need to let Him extend it to you. God loves you. God understands you. When you're going through something difficult, when you're throwing a fit. I was out today and I was walking. And I was thinking about the last few months of my own life. And I was thinking, you know, Lord, I probably seemed like an overgrown little brat at times to you. Lord said, well, that's probably true, Mark. But I love you. And then God brought to mind the prodigal son. And I thought about the prodigal son. I thought, because it's the picture of God. And I thought about the audacity of this son to walk up to his father and say, I want my money and I want it now. I don't want to wait till you kick over. I want my money now. First of all, I mean, you think about it. He had no right to even demand an inheritance. That's a blessing. Some people get it, some don't. He demanded it. Father said, all right. And I can just see him go in, call in some of his stocks and bonds and money markets, make them liquid, turn them into cash. And I can see him hand it out to the son. $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, $100,000. Here you go, son. This is your portion of the inheritance. The other $100,000 is for your brother. Great. And he leaves. He just turns around, takes off. And he goes out, and his father knows this the whole time. He spends it on the most wicked lifestyle you can imagine. It's a good thing they didn't have AIDS then, or he probably would have had it. That's the kind of lifestyle the son lived. And he spent all of his money. He had lots of friends while he had his money. Party, party, party. And then it was gone. He probably tried everything there was to try. Whatever drugs they had in those days, he probably tried them. Whatever pleasures there were to have, he had them. Then his money was gone. He's a derelict. He's down and out. He's a bum. And he's going from place to place working, and he's finally slopping hogs for a living. And he's so desperate, so destitute, that he's eating the slop the pigs eat. He comes to his senses one day. He thinks, you know, this is crazy. I should just go back to my father and tell him, Dad, I'm sorry, and I'm not worthy to be your son. Just let me be a slave. Because even my father's slaves are eating better than I am. So the son takes off on this long journey. And I can see the father. You know, he's wise. Dads are that way usually, especially God. He knew that it wouldn't take long. He had seen his son grow up, had no idea how to save money or spend it. He knew that this son had a rebellious streak in him. He knew that his son was always wanting his own way. And he knew the son got bored pretty quick. He figured, you know, one day he'll probably come back. And every day I can see this father walking down the lane, looking over the horizon, and walking back in prayer. And walking back down the lane, and looking over the horizon, and walking back. And one day, he's halfway down the lane. And he sees this lone figure off in a distance. And he vaguely makes out, I think that's my son. And he runs, you can see this old man, big old stomach out to here, runs down the lane, runs out on the road, throws himself on his son. And the Bible says he begins kissing his son. And the son begins to cry and he says, oh dad, I'm not worthy to be called your son. Father says, oh son, I am so glad you're back. He turns to his servants who've seen his master running and wonder, what in God's name is he up to? They come running and he turns to them, kill the fatted calf. Throw a party. My son who is lost is back. Not once, not one time did he look at the son and say, you know, son, I'm glad you came to your senses, boy. You know, you've really lowered the family name. I don't know if I want you back. Maybe it would be good for you to be my slave for a while. Get out in the barns. Not once. He took that son back. He embraced him. He had been waiting for him all along. Some of you here tonight have been running from God. Some of you have just been, you know, I don't know if God's trustworthy. I want to tell you something. God's been walking down that lane every day for you. Every day He's looking for you. He's had His eye on you everywhere you've gone. You don't have to have one bit of shame. Just come to God. Some of you, you know, in your heart, maybe you've never asked Christ into your life. Others of you have known the Lord and you've drifted and you've gone out on your own and you've found out, just like the rest of us, it's pretty boring, dull, and icky out there. But you know what the devil does to all of us? He's there telling you, hey, what do you think? You can go back to God the way you are? You think God would want you back? Come to your senses. You've done nothing but shame Him. You've acted like a spoiled little brat. Why would God want you back? Because you're His kid. Because you're His child. And He loves you. The song I sang tonight is true about every one of you. When you know Christ, God is your shepherd and He will lead you throughout your life. Sometimes you go through the valley of death. And sometimes He'll lead you beside still waters. Sometimes in a gentle pasture. He will always prepare a rich table for you no matter what's going on in your life. He will always anoint your head with oil. He will always follow you with goodness and mercy. But you have to let Him do that. You have to let Him do that. Let Him do that. You know, the God's greatest thrill in life is to be your parent. And you know something about God? You never outgrow His parenting. Some of us have gotten too big for our britches. We think we're too old. We don't need God. Maybe it'd do some of us a lot of good to revert back a little bit to our childhood and just begin realizing God is your daddy. The other day, I'll end on this, we were at a restaurant, my son and I. And my son walked over to the pop machine, it's my oldest son, and he said, hey daddy, do you want a drink? And I noticed three people in the booth turned their heads. It's like, geez kid, grow up. And I thought about that for a minute. I thought, you know, I wonder if I should tell my son, maybe son, you should call me dad. And I thought, nah, I'm daddy. Just like the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, we have been given the Spirit who cries out, daddy, father. If you don't know that God is your daddy, then it's time to learn that. He loves you. He cares about you. And He'll never stop. Quit fighting that. Quit beating yourself over the head. God understands what you and I go through. Lord, I thank You tonight that You're an understanding and compassionate God. I thank You so much, Lord, for Your goodness to each of us. I thank You for Your goodness to me, Lord. I find such wonderful comfort, Father, knowing that I can come anytime, any place, and lay out my troubles and my frustrations and my burdens. I mean, you understand that the weather's been getting to me. You know that. It's not an excuse, but you understand it. I thank you, Lord, someday I'm going to live with you. And I'm going to be in your palace. And there's never going to be any clouds. And there's never going to be any hail, any rain, any trouble, any malice, any hatred, any wars. I tell you, Lord, we need this tonight. The newspapers have nothing good to say. Our world is falling apart more quickly than most of us realize. And I thank you tonight, Lord God, that you're the stability of my days. That you're my rock, you're my father. And it won't be long. And Dad, you're going to take me home. I'm looking forward, Lord, to being with you. I'm looking forward to sitting on your lap and embracing you face to face and seeing in your eye the tenderness that I know is there now through your word by faith. Thank you, Lord, for your compassion. Thank you for your understanding heart. In Jesus' name.